This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us Chris Preeson.
Okay, so you were trained as a telegraphist.
Yes.
And then you went on, would you say, active duty as a telegraphist? Or you started?
Oh, yes.
So what did that involve?
For a telegraphist, it should have been 15 months. And the instructor that we had, we just did not like him at all. He was a tough man. But as we progressed through our training and we started learning things, we found that our instructor wasn't so bad after all. Mm-hmm. And even at 13 months, especially with our Morse transmission and Morse reception capabilities, we were way above what we were supposed to be. And then one of our cruisers was going to be sent over to the west coast of America sort of a show that flag type
of goodwill
visits. At that particular time, it had been many, many years before a New Zealand warship had gone to the west coast of America and Canada. So they decided, well, seeing this class, basic class, has done so well, we'll cut their training short by a month so that we can get them onto this cruiser and send them on their merry way. And that is what happened.
So you got paid to go on a cruise, whereas...
Well, we've been paid anyway.
Yeah.
And we'd hardly got onto the ship and we learned that, no, they were not going to go to the west coast of America. So that disappointed us, anyway, we went across to Sydney, up to Newcastle, and here's where my eyes started really being opened. We went round to Darwin, and as we cruised into Darwin, we had to wend our way in amongst all the sunken ships to get in.
All right, yeah.
Bearing in mind that this was only 11 years after the end of the Second World War.
Of course.
So they hadn't had time to...
Now, when you say sunken ship, were they sort of merchant ships that had been sunk by the Japanese? Or
and Navy warships.
Warships as well?
Yep.
That had been sunk by the Japanese on the way into Darwin?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that would be a wake-up call for you.
It was.
Yeah.
Mm.
So what was your reaction to that, or you and your colleagues? Did you think, heck, what have we got into?
Well, I'd only just sort of... You know, I turned 16 by that stage. You know what a young adolescent is like, very impressionable, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
But from there, we went up... towards Singapore, but on our way we met up with some British warships and some Australian warships. And at one stage early on that trip from Darwin to Singapore, also a French Navy warship. Mm-hmm. And that was round about the start of the Southeast Asian Treaty Organisation, SEATA. Went up to Singapore, and what a dirty, scruffy hole that was.
That was before the massive growth, and they were independent then, but...
Virtually the end of the...
The
British had the East India Company.
Yeah.
And the East India Company were involved in Eastern Malayan states.
Yeah.
Now I say Malayan, Malaysian.
That's right.
Malayan states. And Singapore was just, you know, one of them sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then from there...
Did you go into Singapore?
Yes.
So you went to... Now, there was Raffles, wasn't there? Did you go...
I've seen Raffles.
You've seen Raffles, yeah?
Yes, that was, well, I have seen
Raffles. And what was your impression of it? Nothing much? A bit run down?
An old... run down, old colonial type establishment.
Yeah, okay.
But Singapore was a very, very dirty place.
Yeah.
Going up the river towards the naval base there.
Okay, yeah.
We were watching all the beer bottles floating down on the current. Actually going through empty beer bottles.
So when you say it was due, was that because of the Europeans there throwing beer bottles in there? Because the Muslim population wouldn't be drinking the beer, I suppose.
No, the Muslims weren't there.
No, none in Singapore. It was all Chinese in Singapore. Yeah.
Chinese, Malayan, and Indian. And this was in the days before the Kuan Yew. Then we went from there up to, and we patrolled off the east coast of Malaya. We patrolled off the west coast of Malaya.
Yes. Yeah.
The Strait Settlements, as such, were the eastern coast.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you went up by Johor Bahru and Kuala Lumpur. And,
they were the western coast.
Yeah.
And we patrolled off the coast of eastern Malaya.
Okay.
And that was when the communist guerrillas were staging a big...
Yeah.
uprising to try and get rid of the Brits and everybody else that were in Malaya, and we didn't see a single sign of the guerrillas at all.
Yeah.
Even though we knew they were in the jungle that we were patrolling off.
So what was your... as they were patrolling, you were looking for boats they might be using, or signs of them ashore? We were
looking for any signs of...
Okay. Activity, yeah.
Quote, the enemy, unquote.
And then were you liaising with ground troops at the same time?
Yeah. By not physically, but by communications.
So you could have given, artillery support for them if need be? Or?
Yes, and I can't remember whether we did provide any artillery support or not.
Yeah. Okay.
It's too far back in my memory.
Did you get a medal for it? I see a finger raise, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Short answer is yes.
Yeah.
When did I get the medal? Now, bear in mind that
5 years ago, was it?
Bear in mind that this was 1955 when we were doing this.
Yeah.
I was still 16 at the time.
Yeah.
From there, we... teamed up with two Australian ships and another New Zealand ship.
Yeah.
And we went up to Manila.
Yeah.
In the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we thought we'd seen it all entering the harbour at Darwin.
Yeah.
But here we were steaming through sunken ships again in Manila.
Yeah. There would have been some older sailors on the ship who'd been serving out during the Second World War, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes.
So did they tell you stories about these things?
Not really.
No?
No.
Did you see them reacting at all to
that?
No. Okay.
I just, as far as we were as Key was, were concerned a lot, and were just the dregs of the British Navy sort of thing.
Yeah, okay.
And some of them were that as well. So in, now you asked about the medals.
Yeah.
Medals. In 2002, the New Zealand government finally decided to give us a medal for this bit of patrolling that we did. The New Zealand Operational Services Medal.
Okay. Had that medal existed before?
No.
Ah, okay. So they created a medal and then...
And then backdated it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So that put me in the class of being a Armed Forces veteran with qualifying operational service.
Okay, yeah. Which affects pension and all sorts of things? Yeah. Okay.
Not to a great deal, but, but the word qualifying is a magic word there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went up to Manila through a typhoon through the South China Sea.
In a smallish...
One New Zealand cruiser.
Yeah.
One Australian cruiser.
Yeah.
Our cruiser was a back place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then one New Zealand frigate.
Yeah.
And one Australian frigate.
Yeah.
Those two ships couldn't keep up with us. They had to drop back because of the weather.
Mm.
It was amongst one of the worst storms I have ever been in.
Were you, you could see it, or were you busy inside the ship without being able to see outside?
You weren't allowed on the upper deck.
No, and there were no windows you could look out or anything? You
well,
just...
there were portholes and set around, yes.
So what
And sometimes the portholes, now our particular mess deck was right up forward in the ship.
Yeah.
And the only way to get through a typhoon of that magnitude was to steam bears on
straight
into the waves.
Yeah.
And as the bears went up and the water was dripping off the bears, you get to the top of the wave.
Yeah.
And then smack!
Crash straight down. Yeah.
Straight down.
Hmm.
And you see the bears disappear under the water.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at a porthole, all you'd see was water.
Yeah.
And then the bears would come up again and
then
you'd see the sky again.
Yeah. Was it going up and down very fast, or you go down and you think, are we going up again? Or it was quite quick. Yeah.
The bears would go up and then smack down
and
then start going up the next wave, smack down.
Yeah. Okay. So how was that? You could see a little bit. You were being knocked around a lot. You got seasick?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. You were all seasick?
No.
just some. Okay.
Just some of us.
Yeah.
Mind you, getting back to my grandfather.
Yeah.
Every time the bears of his ship went outside of a harbour, he was seasick.
Yeah.
That was right through his career.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he stayed in the Navy altogether for 24 years.
Yeah. Is it common that you don't adjust to it, or?
Oh, you gradually adjust to it.
Yeah.
Which is what I did.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
In fact, in some ways I adjusted to it pretty quickly, in other ways, didn't.
Okay.
Because I can remember myself and one other scrubbing out our mess deck one morning during a real storm, and we had a bucket, what we called a fanny bucket, full of water to scrubbing brushes to scrub out.
While the boat was going up and down?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then every few minutes, one of us would chunder into the bucket.
Okay, the same water you're using for cleaning. That's not going to get very clean.
Yeah. I can remember that.
Oh, dear.
Then that trip coming back, we came back the same way. But we stopped in Singapore on the way again, on the way back. And the other New Zealand warship and the two Australians, we parted company. And from Singapore, we got round to Fremantle. That's on our way back to New Zealand.
Yep.
And from Fremantle across to Hobart and back to Auckland.
So, did you have much time ashore in the different places?
No.
So you sort of saw the world, but just from a ship, right?
Either from a ship or from a bar.
From a bar, yes. Okay. And what about the military police then? Were they a bit of a hassle for you? Or weren't there any there when you were...
Well, you had a master at arms on board the larger ships.
Yeah.
And the master at arms, he was a chief petty officer rank. And he had a deputy which was called a regulating petty officer. And he was a rank below.
Yeah.
Petty officer rank. That was it. My grandfather retired from the Navy as a master at arms, despite the fact that he had got into trouble as a leading seaman. This is right in the very beginning. I don't know exactly which year, it'd be 1902, 1903, about then. There was somebody of a senior rank giving him a hard time from down on the deck. So my grandfather didn't like it. He swung out of the rigging, it was a sailing ship.
Yeah.
He swung out of the rigging and struck this senior rating. So he got reverted back to the rank below.
Yeah.
Lost his one good conduct badge that he had at the time and etc. So that put a bit of a dampener on his career.
Yeah.
But shortly after that, my grandfather must have had a change of heart. I think he got religion a little bit.
Okay.
And he decided that he would join the regulating branch. And at that time, they were called, at the leading rank, they were called Ship's Corporal Second Class. Then from there they went to Ship's Corporal First Class, which was a petty officer rank, then from there to Master of Arms.
So was discipline very... I know you go back, you know, 50, 100 years before that, and there's very strong discipline on naval ships. And, obviously there wouldn't be the lash and all that sort of thing in your day, but was discipline strong, or people just tended to be disciplined in...
The Master of Arms, if he spoke to you and told you to jump over the side, the only question you would ask would be, which side? You never questioned an order, especially from the Master of Arms, but if you had any misgivings about the order, you still carried out the order and then you queried it.
That would be standard military...
Naval discipline.
Yeah.
And if you were, say, a lieutenant, in other words, a commissioned officer, had stripes on your arm, if the Master of Arms told you off, you still did what he said.
Yeah.
So the Master of Arms was the law on a warship.
And it generally be relatively old? Be in that position?
Well, getting on a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a little story. When I was stationed at Urarangi in Waiuru, I went into the...
Oh, because that was the naval signals base for all the ships, wasn't it?
Navy Wild Station.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. I went into the bar one day in an old bloke had just started work as barman porter, and he used to give us Navy blokes a hard time.
Hmm.
And one day I said to him, "Why don't you just shut up? You're old enough to have been in the Navy when my grandfather was in." And he said, "Well, I joined in 1921 and did a little bit of basic seamanship, and then I was sent to HMS Chatham." I said, "Oh, did you?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, you would have met my grandfather then." "Oh, what was his name?" "Master at Arms Precy." "Oh, shit, not the old bastard." The look on his face. Well, I knew very well that he had met my grandfather.
Well, that begs the question, how did you get on with your grandfather?
Well.
Yeah, very well.
Because as I said, I never had a great deal to do with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was a family type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so that was your early, we're nearly at time, but that was your early trip. You did many other trips?
Oh, yes.
Out, yeah.
Yes.
And how far did you get? What's the furthest you got from New Zealand?
Well, my second trip was 14 months.
Okay.
We got back from doing that Far Eastern trip on the Black Prince.
Yeah.
And then we were sent to the Bologna, which was the same class of cruiser.
Yeah.
And she was also on loan from the Royal Navy. And we were going to take the Bologna back to England, turn it back over to the Royal Navy.
Mm.
And at the same time, the Royal Navy were getting another cruiser ready to loan to us.
Yeah.
So that ship was a... took us 2 months to get her back to England, and it crawled with cockroaches.
Mm-hmm.
It was riddled with cockroaches. Now, the way a mistake was created for us younger people, or junior people rather, you slept, ate, relaxed, entertained each other, everything, all in the one area.
Mm.
So you had a mess deck table that when it was not in use for eating, was folded up against the bulkhead to create more space. When the meals were ready, the mess deck table came down and one person went up to the galley to bring the meals back down to the mess deck and then shared out. But when we went up to the galley, we would say what mess we were from, and a big steel tray would be pushed through the hatch for us to take down. Now, around that hatch were cockroaches.
And they didn't run away from people? Or there
were thousands of them, just around the hatch.
Yeah.
And the ship's cook would stand there with the tray, and you'd be standing on the other side, and you'd be looking at these cockroaches, and you'd think, "Now's the time." And you nod towards the ship's cook, and he would push the tray out in a hell of a hurry. And if you were lucky, you only had a sort of a handful or couple of dozen cockroaches landed on your meal. And then you took it down, and then you had to push out the meal to everyone and try and get rid of as many cockroaches as you could.
The
ship was like that all the way through.
They didn't try sort of spraying or anything to get rid of them?
Far too late for that, because the bladder had been laid up for a while. Aye. And there was no maintenance done on the ship whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah.
It was virtually neglected.
Yeah.
And we just walked on just as a sort of a steaming crew to take it back to back to England and be the basis of the crew bringing the next ship out to New Zealand.
This is part two. Listen next week for part three.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.